That's absolutely asur, says the Maral, being that there's no ksuba and no kedusha. So the Maral is saying that the minhag was that when they would get engaged, they would feel, we'll call it in the modern language, they were not shomer negiya. And he says she has no kedusha and ksuba. If it wasn't somebody that was her chassan, they would decry this as being terrible. And just because they agreed to get married, there's a heter. It's interesting. The Maral's first point that he lashes out is not the second point, which is really the main point. But the first one he says is, since they're not yet mekudesh, this is very, very bad. And that's the problem that he has with it. He then says also, v'yosef ze mistami nida, she's mistama nida, v'yesh bezal minatoyer, al-tikri v'l'galas erv. We would have flipped it around. We would have said the first thing that's wrong is the Nida. Nida is a real lav. The other one, I guess it's an inyan. I don't know what to call it, but it could very well be that the Maral is talking from the point of view of precious, from the point of view that until a woman is not designated for the man, he doesn't go near her, and that's lacking when you don't have real issues. He's talking more about, I guess, the approach that people would have. People understand that a stam woman in the street, undesignated person, is znustic, and therefore, over here, he's doing something wrong, and is not conscious of it because they think that it's already some sort of issues. My feeling is sort of the amaratzes shebahem, in that they assume that this is already issues, but in fact it has no halachic validity whatsoever. I want to point, it's interesting, because this was an issue in many, many places, in different kufis. There's a sefer called Chupas Chasanim, which is a sort of elementary Hilchos Nida that was put out, 20 years ago, sort of. It was a kitzel, like a sort of a learner, a Hilchos Nida primer. And it also speaks about the terrible Isser, Chasen Kala, in the more modern Europe, that was considered to be like, once you had a steady date, you a fiancé, you didn't have a problem having kirvas basa. And it's, first of all, I just want to point out always, when people say our door is terrible and there's never been such a thing, it's unheard of, and so on and so forth, if you look at Sfarim, there is no such thing as wasn't unheard of. The Rambam writes in the letters that in Egypt, almost very few women used the mikveh for nida, and they sort of, this was a Karaite influence, and most of them would either take a shower, kind of, or splash water on themselves to fulfill the pasuk was zarakta lechem mayim torim, and he writes and he made a cherim, but in put the women at the cherim who would not not go to the mikveh, but it almost sounded that it was the norm without any exception. And he also writes the Rambam that he thinks there's almost no place that any Torah really exists anymore, and most of the places have become, there's no real Tanachom in the Torah centers except for two or three spots that he points out that he thinks. So it's not, when people say this is the worst and terrible, never was like that, well, the truth is, it depends on the Kufis. You read Shuvas Forum where you have maids living in the house that we're expecting, and you have to deal with the issues of whose child it is. On the other hand, there were certain kufis when it was very, very different also, in the opposite direction. Two things come to mind. I was reading a memoir of someone who lived in the early 1800s, a woman who lived in the early 1800s, and she was in Russia, and she came from a Siddisha-type background. I don't know if she came from Siddisha, but her husband did. And they basically fried out, and they became fry, and so on. And she writes memoirs, and there's a lot to learn from it. But one of the things that's clear is that to walk with your own wife for a walk was considered to be kind of princistic. And wherever it was that they were, this was early 1800s, a stroll with one's wife was risque. It wasn't something that was acceptable. Another thing that comes to mind is a letter that Rabbi L'Chaim Meisels of Lodz, the Lodzer Rav, wrote regarding a shidduch that was done with his son and a girl, and he writes a letter to his mechupin. I heard a rumor that your daughter wanted to see my son. He said, I am discounting it because I wouldn't accept Lashon Hara, so I'm not bekamlit. And it's not that I have anything to hide, my son is a very, very handsome young man. But if it's true, then I am a vatal shidduch immediately. L'nasek came to Yisrael, what kind of princess is this, what kind of thing that she should want to take a look at him and so on before they're married. And, that's the way it went. It was very, very different kufas had different mores in these areas. But this problem seemed to have been a problem different times, different kufas. In the post can be find a lot of mention of it, about how usher it is and so on. So if someone comes along and says never ever in the history of Klal Yisrael, the person hasn't actually looked at many svarim, hasn't seen many svarim, because the Merle says this seems to be a common plague. Over the reign of Zeshul Boteira, this becomes the norm, and it was something that seemed to be certainly enough of a problem that he wanted to come down on it. But what I find interesting is his order of knocking it. The first thing that he knocks it at is that it's not his wife yet, and it's an Avol of Yisrael. And then he says there's also a technical halachic problem of being a nida. I mean, I have a lav, a sigur gals erva. It's a lot more chomer. The second one's a lot more chomer than the first one. The first one doesn't really have a lav. It's even hard. You have a hard time pinpointing the exact issue, except that inappropriate.
So just a question on that. Isn't there, in the first one, in a certain way, there's a lot more depth there, right? The kesher between a person's between a man and a woman, the kesher is not there on a deeper level. They're correct. Not connected at all.
Correct. In terms of on a deeper level, it's a bigger pagam. Whereas nida is a particular issur, this is something where instead of the physical connection with the wife being the culmination of a kesha, this is actually sort of taken outside the system, and it has the title znus to it. So that is correct. Yes. And I think that's why I do think you're correct, and that's why he's actually saying it that way. Okay, next piece has nothing to do with it. The Perikol Kisvei. I'm Reb Yosi. Miyomer l'nistakalti b'mila shali. So the Ma'ayas v'omalei l'Rebbe my time occur l'Rebbeinu HaKadosh. Omalei miyomer l'nistakalti b'mila shali. So the Ma'ayas says no. Rebbe milsachrita ave beishle hichnis yoret asav neite. Rebbe had a higher dagger in that his hand never went under his belt. Pirish. By the way, this is the Chassidish, the Chassidim's mocker. If you ever see it in Ger, they hold their hands folded above their waist or behind their waist folded, but never below. And he says, Pirsh, so he's explaining why is the difference in the two dagas. L'chura, we would say that the darg of Leinistakalti is higher than Riches Yodei. The Mashmoz of the Gemara is that Rabbeinu HaKadosh is called Kaddish. And obviously that seems to be like the ultimate Darga, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, who's just called Rabbi Yossi. So he says, so for us, we would understand that when a person looks at all it is a craving, that's not as chomer as when he touches, when there's some sort of maisa ver involved. He goes the opposite direction, which is mashmos of the Gemara. Pirish, ki mashal in istakel b'mila shaloi, dovazek kedusha. That not looking is kedusha, ki ha'ayin koyach ha'nefesh, v'yed misrachek min ha'pchisus mitzad nafshay. So since the eye is really a more nafshistic koach, it's not as coarse as the eye is not as coarse as the yad, so that the eye doesn't belong there. That seems to be appropriate. Umishani de Mulsachri to have a Rebbe Chulu. Pirish. Rebbe Hoyle Ktushas Haguf. Shahoyo Negea Le Matami Tiburai. Vizek Ktushas Haguf. Shle Rebbe Shubevada Yoise. Ki Af Guf Oye Kaddish Ktushas Haguf. So, it the Chiddush in Rabbeinu HaKaddish is that even his hands didn't go where they weren't supposed to. It's not. We think the other way around. We think the kedusha is mitzad the bris kodesh. So b'meila, the hands of one darga of problem, and the eyes of another darga. He says it was mitzad the hands that it was a higher darga that even his hands wouldn't touch something that doesn't belong. That means that the kedusha was something that was shaykh to the guf. So he says, certainly Rabbeinu HaKadosh, his eyes certainly didn't go, which is again the half of what we would think. We would think, well, many people see what they ought not to see, and so on. But our job is to control ourselves physically, and not to control the Olam HaMaisa. But the darga of Rabbeinu HaKadosh was that even it was mitzad yadayim that even they weren't very sick, and somebody shouldn't be very sick. The Rabbeinu HaKadosh is particularly it's something which is miyuchad Rabbeinu HaKadosh. I want to point out another nekuda here. Every person mitzad his mohus, mitzad his own mohus, the person has a neshama that's kadosh and it's min elyonim, and the neshama shazati b'tahorahi. And you know, there's kedusha there. Mitzad the guf shabai, mitzad his own mitzis, our mitzis. What do we think of ourselves? We don't think of ourselves as our neshama. We think of ourselves as the guf, and we have an added nekuda of being of having something higher in us, a neshama. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, his mitzias of kedusha was his guf. His mitzias of kedusha, his mohus, was in the guf itself, and that's why his name was Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Reb Yossi had a kedusha, but that kedusha was affiliated with him. You didn't talk about the etzem mohus of his being kaddish, because there wasn't quite. That's not his mohus. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that was his mohus. The Ramban in Vayechi speaks about the concept of a nifter returning to this world. When do we say it? When don't we say it? And he speaks about Yaakov Avinu Lo Yimeis. So basically, he says the following: that for most tzaddikim, coming back to this world after Misa is unthinkable, because they were full of, this world was a bad place, it was full of tumah, it wasn't a good place, it had bad associations, and therefore the person, the neshama, doesn't want to come back. And it doesn't, unless there's some particular reason. That's why Gilgul is such a terrible thing, because the neshama really, really would rather not come back. The Yechidei Skula, like Yaakov Avinu and Rabbeinu HaKadosh, whose mohus and madrega was that their guf was never sold in this world, don't see this world as a place of anything negative. And that's why they could come back. So Yaakov Avinu le'meis, and Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Chazal tell us that he used to make, used to come back and make Kiddush every week until he realized somebody knows about it, because, and he, then he didn't want to embarrass the other ones. The point of it is that there was a certain element of Kedusha. The Guf was so Kaddish that for the Neshama, coming back to the Guf wasn't a negative transition. And they could come back at will, except they didn't want to be much less on the Shaydim and so on. So it's Rabbeinu HaKadosh in particular's Guf that allowed him to come back after Misa, because the goof was the same for him, by whether or not, whether he was in this world or the other world, there was no priestess in the goof. The next one, this is a Perek HaRoya.
I think, isn't there also a lashon with Rabbi Akiva, that after he got his, his flesh combed, so one of the nuschals is Shegufo Kodesh Bokol Midei Kedusha, I think.
Correct. But of the Tanoim, Rabbeinu was called Kadosh. In other words, the fact that it's became, it also Rabbi Akiva had a tkufa, Rabbi Akiva had tkufas that he wasn't that way. Rabbeinu Kadosh seemed to be Kadosh mibetu mileda. The Rambam describes him as a very, very perfect individual. So it's reserved for him, that title. That's the, Beperek HaRoya, Tan Rabbana, Hameratzim was the Isha Miyadil Yadai, and Miyadil Yadai Kli Yistakobo. So if somebody hands a woman money or takes money in order to be Mistakel, I feel a kibble terror me Sinai Kimoish Rabbeinu, the Chsibo Mimina Eshtas Lomoy, Lo Yinatsu Dina Shal Gehenem Shem Liyad Liyad Lo Yinokev Lo Yinoke Ra. Mine look around, Lo Yinokev Dina Shal Gehenem. So this is really a very, very strange chazal, the kesher of the two memories, the two psukim, I feel the kibble term is Sinai Kemosh Rabbeinu. I mean, what are we referring to exactly? You know, it's sort of, what exactly was going on there? Doesn't seem to have any, you're trying to say he's a very big tzaddik, okay, he's a very big tzaddik, but what does it mean he was mekabel Torah from the hands of the word kibel Torah misinai kemesh Rabbeinu? That's the point that they want to make over here. Shenema yadla yinoke ubir inyan zeh. So what does it mean exactly? So he says like this. Let's see, one second. I don't see if Rashi says anything. I want to take a look and see if Rashi has any. So he says like this. Where's the Kamiratzim Mos Lefishe Naim Kele Misham Shalerva? So he says what's happening here is the person the person. He's taking the eyes and making the eyes a vehicle forever. Begam hayadayim emesham shel adam shubatz mesichli lasa meisen sheshel lasis. So he says, the two, the eyes and the hands, are both shamashim for kedusha. They're both hechetimtzis for a person's for using for the seichel as kalim for the seichel. So he says, v'gamidaim yev zeh meshamish bekalim lepol haever. So what does he mean with that? Ve'hoyu hakelim dehayne yodav misham shel kabbalat Torah. It's not that he didn't use his avarim for toiv. He uses avarim for toiv as well. So that's the kibbul Torah miyodash lakadosh baruch hu. Means it's not a shortcoming of yadayim, but yadayim were also oisik something else. The Ivarim were not created to be used to serve bad. So he said before that they, when he spoke about Koshi Yuruhet, the piece before, so he says that the difference between something that affects seichel versus something that's just a maisa, or better said, we said, in as much as it affects the seichel, it's much worse. Here also, it being that the person is taking a chilek of his guf that wasn't meant to be used for that, it bets him is subordinate something much higher, so it should have been subordinate to seichel. Zamal says here an extraordinary point. He says, when a person uses kalim that are meant to be kalim that are meant to be used for sichlis tikinyanim, then they themselves are to some degree sichlis tikinyanim. The misusing of it, the misappropriation of these inyanim for inyanim of guf is a bigger pagam, and you can't get it out in this world. He's saying an extraordinary chiddush. When a person is baal eishes ish, the etzem maisa itself takes place in this world. And therefore, it is possible that there be some sort of tikkun in this world. That's something that's possible, because we're dealing in the etzem guf of the avera. We're dealing with a very, very physical phenomena, and it has shaychus to this world. So mechatesa, you're going to need dinaget shel gehenim to take it out. Maybe just with a more robust einish in this world, the person. It can be a skapa. But in as much as you're dealing either with here or over there, that's one of the pshatim over there, that if you maharer, the here aspect of the maisa is worse. The here also, in as much as he's using something that doesn't belong in that world, doesn't belong in the world of physical nyanim, that misuse has no kapar in this world. Because be'etzem, it's a misuse of a higher faculty of a person, of olam habedik of a person, and for that he needs to have dinish l'gehenim, because that's an appropriate onish for that type of error. So what he's saying over here is that when a person is poigim, in a chelik that shayach to nefesh or to neshama, it's a much deeper begam, and it's a begam that's not soivel it's not soivel a tikkun in this world, because there's no context for that in this world, and it will have to be in another world, which is mocham. This is something that I guess if we're to extend it, so you know, we're talking about high dargis of yadayim and leinayim and so on, but I think
so, Rabbi, can you explain the what the leinayim, you understand the chora is a higher kli, but the yadayim, that's a chora very...
What he seems to be saying, if he's following the thread of thought from what he said last time, in as much as yadayim are supposed to be meshamish to seichel, they're supposed to be carrying out. What makes the Yadayim, the element of Yadayim that makes it more than the Guf is that it could be a Kli for Seichel. I guess if you want to break it down a little bit, a person with his hands can do like a Seichel, like a type of work with directing his hands very clearly with Seichel. Your feet, for instance, it's very hard to do something really. You know, yes, there's the occasional stuntman who can play the drums with his feet and, you know, write with his feet, but that's not the norm. So the feet are not usually kelim in any sense for the seichel. They're kelim for the guf. The guf needs to go from point A to point B, in kick the feet. But mitzad the teichen, that's not it. I guess I wanted to go to a sort of parallel point that's important to bear to think about. When a person has a when a person does an avera, so that's bad. But much worse than stavera is if a person misuses his standing to do an avera. So a person used his shivas. I know of one or two terrible cases of people who abused the young people, and they did it by sort of part of the selling process was by convincing them that Alpi Torah, this is supposed to be Alpi Zohar, Alpi Torah, it's deeper in this and that, the other thing. They basically used their stature, or I shouldn't say the word stature, or their projected stature, in conjunction with different chazal and other things, to be machshel and abuse, you know, young people. And in my mind, this is something that has no, it doesn't have a kapur in this world, because what you did was you wrecked the person's ruchnias. If a person does an avera on the physical level, so it's a physical avera, it affects his ruchnias in a physical way. Because the outer layer, the outermost layer of my guf, is, you know, has been affected by the outermost layer of somebody else's guf. But when I take the inyanim that are already meant to be an extension of kedusha, leading to kedusha, and instead I harness it to Tumah, then I'm doing an Aver that really has no kapar in this world. Because I affected the ruchnis of the other person. I affected his sense of right, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shemayim, and so on. And, you know, it's a whole different, it's a whole different type of Aver. When you embezzle or misuse something, that's what you're doing. And it's interesting, Rav Volba, when he writes, Rav Volba has a letter in Ali Shur about Inyan Mekdusha to Bachar and so on. And the way he explains it is, he goes along with the same line of embezzlement. In other words, a person has been trusted with certain functions to be used in a certain way for a certain very high purpose. When a person misuses it, there's a certain element of embezzlement. The person is taking something that should not rightfully be used in that context. doesn't quite go into Gashmi. So Ruchni is as much as the two different he means that, but he basically, the point he focuses on is the embezzlement aspect, so to speak. But Maral is saying simply that anything that has a shaychus to Ruchnius that's misused because it's made into a maidservant for things that are not Ruchnius is that's Avera. And that's where a person is it has to give a din in Gehenim Dafke, not a din in this world. Because this world is Gashmi to Gashmi. That's all that can possibly come out in this world. In the context of the next world, there's another Mahalach. I want to go back to something here. When he speaks about, it's very interesting. He speaks about Eov and Avram in the Chazal, the difference between the two, that Eov didn't even look at his, Avram looked, Eov didn't look at someone else's, but looked at his, Avram didn't look at his. There's another Chazal over there also. It says, Chazal say that Eov was a Vatran b'Mamono. There was a question there about the Pruta. Would you give the Pruta that was, if a price came out to be even kind of, it was like 199 and a half, and it wasn't quite clear if it was which way, like you can go either way on it, the extra, or if the cashier doesn't have any change, so which way do you go? So the Gemara points that out, Dafke as a Maila in Eov, that he was someone who was a Vatim Mamono. It's interesting, Chazal over there, it says that the norm was that the Chatzi Pruta goes to the Seiche gets it, and the Eov was Mevata his. And then you have the comparison over there of Avram and Eov, this part over here, of the Psula and so on. I think the Eov himself places himself as a tzaddik. Eov's point is, I'm a tzaddik, and therefore I don't deserve this. And in the world of tzaddik, you have your wife is yours. You know, there's no, in the world of tzaddik, which means what is rightfully mine is rightfully mine, that it doesn't have any issue whatsoever for Ishtar. Avram's Mida of Chesed is the Sheresh of Chasidus. In other words, Kedusha expanding beyond Gevulus. Kedusha starts with a Gevul, but it's meant to expand. He's going to bring later the Maral, the whole mission, the Bryce of Mitzvah Be'yoyer, of Zahiris, maybe the Zahiris, or Prishas, Prishas, the Tyra. Kedusha has a way in which it expands. It's the Etzem Bria was a sort of an expansion of Kedusha Baruch Hu into a world of Nivroi. So the Mida of Avram Avinu was the Mida of Kedusha expanding into areas that Be'etzem in Mitzadin, Mitzad Tzadik, is not Shayach. That's why I think Chazal tried to talk about the Pruta, that he was Mevata on the extra Pruta. That's all to try to show that Eov also had a certain Mida Vatranist himself. But in this issue of whether they refrain from looking at his own also or not, it's not just a question of keeping in your Yitzhahara and, it's the Tfisa. And that's why Eov had tainus, because Eov was coming with a certain midas adin, and if this is wrong, it's wrong, and how can you? Avraham Venus has a different approach. Avraham Avinu's approach of Chesed Chassidus was that Kedusha takes on its own its own momentum, and it keeps moving forward, it keeps expanding. It's not just a question of putting things in boxes and saying this is right, this is wrong. So I think that's where Chazal trying to point out the difference between the two. Or else it seems that's not arbitrary. Like he is a little more. It's a bris kusim enayim that it's cut and this is it. Avraham Avinu's mida was wherever I could push further, I push further. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions?
Just on the last point about Avraham Avinu was not mevater on the chetzi pruta.
So it's not, Chazal don't talk about Avraham Avinu. Chazal don't, that's something they don't talk. I don't know, it doesn't say. They just said that he was very much, as if to say you should know in other areas he was outgoing. They don't contrast it with Avraham.
Is that maybe a negative thing, because it's a certain wasting of your what's given to you in a way, no?
Well, in a certain sense it's not me'ikar hadin, but rather it's something which somebody is going to come up short, and the minhag ha'olam is that it goes to the seicher. So he says that was the minhag, and b'meila he didn't have to. It wasn't as if it's his be'etzim. Besides, which as far as Eir is concerned, he and his polim are just as good. You know, it wasn't that he was so much of a difference, I guess. Okay, next week in Mitzvah I'll be here. In 2 weeks, that whole week, I don't know, we have Chasnas and Simchas, Baruch Hashem, boys from Yeshiva getting married on Wednesday and Thursday, so I don't see that we could learn that week. The week of the 22nd, the next week, I'll be going to Tzisrael and Mitzvah on Wednesday, the 22nd, 23rd, and I'll be there like 2 weeks in Mitzvah. So possibly we can get together there. Whatever, we have to figure that out. Okay. So I guess next week will be regular, and then after that, it'll be the next regular time will be somewhere. I'm leaving the 22nd. That's all. I'm going to come back like February 4th or 5th. Mitzvah Shem.
Okay.
Shukrach.
Good Shabbos.
Okay. Good Shabbos. Take care. Bye.
Bye.